Welcome to the Daily VFN Radio Program, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Welcome, I'm John Ramos, and welcome to VFN TV and the Daily VFN Radio Program. We're excited to be having all of our viewers on the Gulf Coast with Christian Television Network. And we're appreciative of you guys honoring, just showing up, and we're honored to be here with you every day, Monday through Friday at 5 p.m. Here to encourage you in the studio is Pat Hamilton.
Hello.
Hello. And Steve Kalaszewski.
Good day, sir.
Good day. My goodness. It's so encouraging, so exciting. We have a lot to be sharing with you today. We'd like to say that if you miss a day of VFN TV, you miss a lot.
Oh, yeah.
But there's hope. VFNTV.com. We encourage you to go visit, hang around for a while, and you'll be amazed at all the different ways and that you can connect and get VFN Radio and VFN TV on the go. Mm. But, man, if you have a podcast, you have any kind of media tablet, we're going to get it out there to you. Plug it in. And, of course, visit our Facebook page. If you haven't liked it yet, please do so. It's another way that you can stay connected. In today's program, we're going to be covering what is going on in Israel. You know, Protective Edge is still going on. Would you believe it, guys, that there has been 11 ceasefires, and Hamas has broken all 11 of them. No shocker there.
No surprise.
But Israel says that Hamas will pay heavy prices for its crimes because of what they're doing. They are a terrorist organization, reportedly the militant arm of the Muslim Brotherhood. And I really feel for the Palestinian people that are just held captive by the group that they actually elected. And we're going to be talking about that also in the context of this. Mahmoud Abbas, the chairman of the Palestinian Authority in the West Bank area, he is going to be putting before the UN a new state initiative. And get ready, because this thing is getting ready to go to a whole new different level. And they're going to continue to do what they've been doing, but now in the midst of a conflict, they're going to try to use, as they always have, different type of manipulative tactics to get the UN and other nations to grant them this statehood. And the miss is like, listen, you partnered up with Hamas, a militant army, and you want us to what? Give you a piece of land? And on top of that, you want conditions on this land? I don't think so. But we're going to be talking about that. And ACLJ, they're talking right now about bringing war crimes to the United Nations. War crimes to the United Nations for their role in Gaza and how their United Nations and relief work agency that's helping, I guess you can call it helping, or in the Gaza Strip, how they've been basically aiding and helping Hamas.
The UN's been doing this.
Right. Well, just by what they're doing, putting the people in jeopardy. You know what I'm saying? So they're trying to tie that all together. But very, very interesting. Stay close. We're going to just talk and kind of unpack all of this here for you today. And also, we're going to be talking about how ISIS, listen, if you missed any of our programs, we have been talking and sharing about James Foley, the journalist, American journalist, who was murdered, beheaded. It means your head cut off, by the way, in Iraq. And the United States and the United Kingdom, they're very close. The MI5 and MI6 is pretty close to identifying, and they've got one person that they really are honing in on, and they really believe it's him, who was the killer, the murderer. Right. And this is a serious deal. You know, American gets murdered on video, and it's an act of war. And we just got to be careful that we're just not moving on as life as usual, moving on and just forgetting about those that are left all over the battlefield, scarred, marred, and dead, and that we mourn with those who mourn. And James' parents, Diane and John Foley, we stand together with them. Their son was a hero, a patriot, and according to their amazing interview, which we have on VFN TV and encourage you to go to The Torch, was so touching. I mean, this guy was like, oh, my, this guy's awesome.
He's amazing.
This is a great, great guy. And we encourage you, listen, slow down a little bit. Smell the roses. Take time to talk with people. Take time. Don't send a text today. Go ahead and pick up the phone and give them a call and say, hey, do you have a couple minutes? I just want to just to touch base and find out how are you doing. A lot of times people, you know, take for granted that everyone's doing okay. Mm-hmm. But a simple question, how are you? Well, my job, no, you, how are you? How are mm-hmm. you doing today? And we're so busy, we'll have to think about it for a while. I don't know. Let me get back with you. But it's important because mm-hmm. as we care about each other and we carry each other's burdens, you know, we're, fulfilling the law and loving on each other the way we're supposed to be loving on mm-hmm. each other. We're supposed to care for each other and carry each other's burdens with us and pray for them and walk together. And so I want to encourage you, make that phone call today. Don't hesitate. Maybe it's a loved one, a friend, coworker, family member, anybody. Just give them a call. Say, just thinking about you, if you were, and just ask about how they are doing personally. Mm-hmm. And we want to jump kind of right into this as Israel is saying that they are going to basically have Hamas pay a heavy price for their crimes and what they've been doing. Mm-hmm. There's been 11 ceasefires, and Israel has, you know, been very good and said, okay, uh-huh. we're going to have peace with you again until we can get this thing negotiated and worked out. And Hamas keeps breaking them. Over the weekend, the Iron Dome was able to reportedly shoot down a rocket that was headed towards Jerusalem. And I keep thinking about John Paul Jackson's A Prophetic Word in the Perfect Storm, where the headlines that he received that said, and I'm paraphrasing, but if Jerusalem gets hit, Mecca's next. And so, I mean, it just mm-hmm. takes one missile, one rocket to create in the wrong place to really take this to a whole new different level. Let's not forget that what kind of triggered or the tipping point in this whole operation was when three young Israeli boys, one had was an American citizen as well, were murdered by Hamas and thrown on the side of the road. And Israel said enough is enough. They have been patiently dealing with Hamas, continually going to the international community. Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu has given repeated speeches before the United Nations talking about the threat not only from Hamas, but the threat from Iran and their nuclear capabilities and what they intend to do. Iran has been eerily silent during this time. However, we know what we've been reporting that they've been supplying, you know, Hamas with all kind of weaponry. Mm-hmm. They've discovered all of this, and this continues to happen. This war continues to happen. In fact, they're saying that it could well go into the month of September, which is interesting because we're going to talk about that. Because according to Pastor Dan Livingston of Transformation Church, who is the city director for CUFI, Christians United for Israel, he and a delegation of 50 other pastors with Christians United for Israel went to Israel not too long ago to have a time of solidarity, if you will, to say that we, the church, Christians, we stand with Israel, we love you, and we want to do everything we can to support you. During that time, they met with different cabinet members from the Israeli government, and some of the things that they were told wasn't released to news. We mm-hmm. hadn't heard it. But one of the things they were told was that when they went over, the IDF, Israeli Defense Forces, came over into Gaza, they were able to uncover a whole lot more tunnels than maybe what they expected. And once they were able to get into these tunnels, and, you know, it's dangerous work. You got to. Mm-hmm. They spent $3 million per tunnel, concrete, building material that was meant to build schools and other things that were stolen. Mm-hmm. And they used that money and those resources to build tunnels underground, 59 feet deep, 1 mile long underground.
Wow.
So that they can do terrorist acts, you know, and engage in war.
Mm-hmm.
And so the plan, according to what was shared with him and what he relayed to us and those that were gathered, you know, for that meeting, was that once they got in these tunnels, they found out that these tunnels, they had motorcycles in them. They had Israeli Defense uniforms mm-hmm. down there. They had all kinds of binding equipment to tie people up. They had all kinds of weaponry. And their plan was on Rosh Hashanah to be able to go in and be able to kidnap people and just set themselves off, suicide bombers. I mean, just go just nuts,
mm-hmm.
If you will. And Rosh Hashanah is coming up September 24th, and just because that this was foiled and their plan was uncovered doesn't mean that there's nothing else planned towards Israel during this time. CBN has a report we want you to see that you can get up to date on what is happening as we're trying to stay focused on Israel and making sure that we not just stay informed, but we stay prayerful as well. Watch this.
Pat, Prime Minister Netanyahu is promising Israel won't stop military operations against Hamas until it's accomplished all its goals. That statement came after one of Hamas's deadly attacks killed a four-year-old Israeli boy. Chris Mitchell brings us the story from just outside Jerusalem.
Israel bombed a Hamas command and control center in Gaza over the weekend. It's part of the latest round of fighting after Hamas broke a ceasefire for the 11th time in the month-and-a-half-old conflict.
This Iron Dome anti-missile battery shot down a rocket headed towards Jerusalem over the weekend. Hamas has launched more than 700 rockets and mortars at Israel since breaking the ceasefire.
On Friday, four-year-old Daniel Tragerman died in a mortar attack on Kibbutz Nahal Oz near the Gaza border. In another attack, a rocket struck a synagogue in Ashdod. Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu said Hamas would continue to pay a heavy price for what he called the crimes that it's perpetrating. Hamas publicly executed 18 Palestinians it accused of collaborating with Israel. Human rights groups across the political spectrum condemn the executions. Meanwhile, Palestinian Authority President Mahmoud Abbas said he plans to unveil what he called an unconventional solution to the Israeli-Palestinian conflict. Abbas linked his future with Hamas, despite Israel's revelation last week that the terror group planned to overthrow him.
This delegation includes all Palestinian factions, including Hamas, in order to return to the negotiation table to achieve a long-term ceasefire and to discuss other issues on the negotiation table afterwards.
But negotiations with Hamas remains a non-starter for Israel, since the group's main goals are killing Jews and destroying the Jewish state. Chris Mitchell, CBN News, in the hills of Jerusalem.
Amazing. When we get right back from this break, we're going to continue to talk about this unconventional, if you will, plan from Mahmoud Abbas, the chairman of the Palestinian Authority in the West Bank, to position themselves for statehood. It's lunacy, and we're going to talk about it more when we get right back from this break.
You're listening to VFN Radio. Don't forget, you can locate us at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
If there's anything anyone wants to say, that was your shot.
We will never experience anything like this again in our lives.
My grandfather waits for me to get back from practice just so I can tell him how we're doing.
I'll tell you guys, we always say to finish strong, right?
De La Salle streak and tradition continue.
Our year.
12 years, 151 games in a row. But we were never just about winning. We were built on families.
Doing it, coach. Getting my baby out of Richmond.
And our town coming together.
The longest winning streak in sports history is now over.
But losing the streak tested us all.
Let some punk pull you down at the two-yard line.
Dad, please.
Don't let a game define who you are. Let the way you live your lives do that.
It's just a high school football game.
Ever since day one, we've been doing what's best for us. You and me getting out of here together.
You heard from me?
People always ask me what it's like to never lose. Today, I am lost.
All the things I've taught, I don't know if I'm still doing much good here.
I just want you happy and healthy.
Danny! Call 911!
I got caught up in everything and let it nearly kill me.
Coach, I'm alone.
Family isn't just blood relatives. You've got me and 60 brothers.
One, two, three, four!
Coach told us, face your fears.
Meet Buster Matthews, 330 pounds of pure aggression, and you're going to face him the whole game. We got lost, caught up in the hype, the glory, and the relentless pressure. That's not who we are. We need to stand back up and find our way again. Golden Gate.
You've got to decide what you want to be.
Only way I'm going out of this game is on a stretcher.
You know why they call me Buster?
Because you're stupid enough to let them.
Got this for life.
No matter where we go or what we achieve, nothing's ever going to come close to what we have right here, right now.
When the game stands tall.
Are you or someone you know having difficulties hearing? If you answered yes, then maybe it's time to contact the professional staff at Ears to Hear Hearing Center, where they improve the quality of life for the hearing impaired and their families by testing and fitting and dispensing the best hearing aid for the patient's hearing loss, lifestyle, and budget. Three convenient locations on the Gulf Coast to serve your needs. Don't miss one more word. Call today and be on your way to enjoying the gift of hearing.
Can you lose your job for referring to your faith? This is Law and Justice with Jay Sekulow.
Out of the blue here all of a sudden last Wednesday morning, here comes my boss walking into one of the stores I was in, and he goes, I'm going to have to let you go. And I said, for what? And he said, harassment. You can't tell people that if you're not religious, you're going to go to H-E-L-L. And I said, I didn't say any of that.
Yeah, let me tell you this. You can't be fired for your faith, and that to be documented. There was this attempt a few years ago to create what was called a religious free zone at the workplace, but that did not come into fruition. And we beat those guidelines back. So, again, that's an overreaction. Let me get you in touch also with our lawyers here at the ACLJ and get you some help. And by the way, great resources, Gary, on our website. The On the Issues section, when you go there, right there on the website, has a whole section about workplace and what you can and cannot do. But yeah, since you've been terminated here, let me get you in touch with our lawyers.
Visit us at ACLJ.org. That's ACLJ.org.
You confidently, the patriarch David, he died and he was buried. He was talking about Jesus. He was prophesying about this Jesus whom you crucified. And he goes on, he says, listen, he's sitting at the right hand of Father, that the Father, David prophesied. That's where he is right now. In verse 36, he says, therefore, let all of Israel be assured of this. God has made Jesus whom you crucified both Lord and Christ. I mean, think about it. That means what? He's over everything, including you. He's over you. He's over the governments. He's over all the governments on the face of the earth. All authorities established by God. All of it's established by God. Romans chapter 13, 1 through 5. It's him. They're his servants. He says, when the people heard this, he says, they were cut to the heart. And they said to Peter and the other apostles that were standing with them, what shall we do? This is so important because when you hear the gospel being preached today, the truth is what they're saying is, who can't be saved? Come on to the concert, let's do it, right? We got a big boo, come on in. But when Jesus preached, the disciples who walked with him said, who can be saved?
You've just been listening to a moment from the VFN Dream Center. Find out more. Join the dream at VFNDreamCenter.org. That's VFNDreamCenter.org.
You're listening to VFN Radio, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T, light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
I'm John Ramos, and welcome back to VFN TV and the Daily VFN Radio Program. Joining me back from the break is Pat and Steve, and we're talking about Israel. Mm-hmm. What's going on with Hamas? Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu saying, "You guys are going to pay. This is not. We're not going to. You know, no more. It's enough is enough.
Mm-hmm. No mas.
Which no mas yeah, for no Hamas. Mas. No mas for Hamas. And Mahmoud Abbas, tongue twister here." Mahmoud Abbas, chairman, president, Palestinian Authority in the West Bank, he's saying that he is going to present to the United Nations basically an unconventional plan, if you will, for their statehood. This is something they've been trying to do for some time now. And, you know, to my shock and amazement, Israel's pretty open to it, which is basically giving them their own state in the West Bank. And you know, Israel has some simple conditions, one of which is that we're going to give you, we're going to break a piece of our bread and give you a piece of bread so that you can, you know, say that's yours from ours. We're going to give you a piece of bread. We just want you to acknowledge that
we gave you the bread.
We gave you the bread, and this is a bread. This is a legitimate Jewish state. This is, we need to acknowledge that. And they refuse to, now you want something from them, but they refuse to acknowledge that. But they complicated the issue when they joined themselves. They partnered back with Hamas, which is a terrorist organization, which is a no deal for Israel. Mm-hmm. They're saying, listen, you're not going to partner with a terrorist organization and then say, you know, give us a piece of land. I don't think so, especially since in 2005, Israel pulled out of the Gaza Strip, took all their people out, and since that time, Hamas has launched over 10,000 rockets into Israel. You know, the first time that happens, you know, shame on you. Second time that happens, shame on me. You know what I mean? And so Israel's like, don't think so. So they're going forward with this thing. And one of their initiatives is to go to the United Nations. And they're actually now trying to, check this out, Pat, they're threatening to prosecute Israel. This is Abbas in the West Bank. To prosecute Israel for alleged war crimes in this Hague International, you know, criminal court, which is just absolutely, you know, it's crazy. It's lunacy. And to think that the world is going to, you know, go along with something like this, and they have. I mean, when they went to the United Nations before to even investigate whether they were going to do this, 17 nations abstained. The United States was the only nation that said no. And to go to 1967 borders. He wants all territory. This is what's being reported by CBN. According to media reports, Abbas plans to petition the UN Security Council to impose a deadline for Israeli withdrawal from all territory outside of the pre-1967 armistice lines to pave the way for a Palestinian state within those borders with Jerusalem as its capitals. This is not going to happen. It's not going to happen. I'm going to show you why. There's something we want you to see that shows you graphically that there's no way that Israel can go back to those 1967 borderlines because that would make them indefensible and they wouldn't be able to protect their nation. And this is why they're continually pushing these 1967 borderlines, of which, by the way, our president suggested that Israel do. Watch this and see the lunacy in this.
Every state has the right of self-defense and to secure borders to protect itself from hostile invasions and terror. Israel is a small state surrounded by Arab countries 650 times its size, some of which are large bases of global terror. Only 44 miles separate between the Jordan Valley and the Mediterranean Sea. After the Six-Day War in 1967, when Israel was attacked by four armies on three fronts, United Nations Security Council Resolution 242 stated that Israel was entitled to new defensible borders to replace the previous fragile lines from which it was attacked. What are Israel's defensible borders? What are its essential security needs? The Jordan Rift Valley, Israel's eastern frontier, forms a natural barrier between Israel and the countries of Jordan, Iraq, and Iran. The Jordan Valley rises from an area that is 1,200 feet below sea level to a hilly ridge of up to 3,000 feet, creating a steep 4,200-foot virtual wall opposite any force attacking from the east. The growing threat of global jihad activity near Israel's borders requires it to prevent infiltrations of terrorists and weapons. When Israel left the Philadelphia corridor in Gaza, it became a highway for the infiltration of terrorists and the flow of hundreds of tons of ammunition and weaponry from all over the Arab world, aimed at Israeli civilians. The Jordan Valley is the equivalent of Gaza's Philadelphia corridor in the West Bank. To defend itself, Israel must retain control over the Jordan Valley. This is Israel's mountain ridge, rising up to 3,000 feet. It dominates Israel's major coastal cities, where more than 70% of its population, 80% of its industry, and all of its airfields and seaports are located. Missiles launched from the Judean hills pose an immediate threat to Jerusalem, Israel's capital. Israel's only international airport, Ben-Gurion, would be in the range of even primitive rockets, while all planes taking off and landing would be threatened by shoulder-launched anti-aircraft missiles. More advanced weaponry would be able to hit virtually any point in Israel. If Israel were forced back to the 1949 armistice lines, the Green Line, the country's width would be reduced to a narrow 9-mile waistline that would be impossible to defend. That's why any future arrangement must include Israeli control over key areas of the mountain ridge and a demilitarized Palestinian state. Israel's narrow borders means a combat aircraft can cross the entire country in under 4 minutes. In less than 2 minutes, an enemy plane could penetrate the country's airspace via the Jordan Valley and reach Jerusalem. In order to thwart an aerial attack on Jerusalem, a hostile plane must be shot down at least 10 miles east of the capital to prevent it from crashing into major population centers. Therefore, Israel must be able to identify hostile planes before they cross the Jordan River line and intercept them shortly after. To defend itself, Israel must control the airspace over the West Bank. Israel's transportation arteries, and in particular the Trans-Israel Highway, enable travel and connection between Israel's regions. They also assure the mobility of the Israel Defense Forces in case of attack. Protection of these vital arteries is essential in order to ensure that 1. Civilians aren't victims of terrorist gunfire. 2. Regions of the country cannot easily be cut off. 3. The mobility of Israel's defense forces is not hindered in the case of invasion. To defend itself, Israel must control its main arteries of transportation. There is enormous uncertainty about future trends in the Middle East. Iran is determined to become the supreme power as the U.S. withdraws from Iraq. No one can guarantee the future of many of the current regimes in the region. Today, more than ever, it is crucial to ensure defensible borders for Israel.
Amazing. There you have it. It's plain to see. We encourage you to forward this to your friends. Understand that when Abbas and others are saying, we're going to turn this over to the United Nations, what you're saying is you're going to turn it over to the people that are going to go against Israel.
Mm-hmm.
And this is not good. Abbas also, get this, he also envisions diminishing the U.S. role as a mediator between the Israelis and the Palestinian conflict. He wants to diminish U.S.'s role. The only ally that Israel has, he wants to take them out, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's just nuts. And then what he wants to do, this goes even further to exasperate the whole issue. Not only does he want to do that, but now he wants to engage the international community. And he says he secured backing. I mean, thank you, Abbas, for securing this backing. But he went out and secured backing from this plan from the European Union, Russia, Egypt, and the Arab League. Oh, really? I'm glad that you went out there and got this backing. Hello, all these folks are against Israel, and it's just not going to happen. We want to make sure that we continue to stay informed, stay educated, but most of all, we want to be able to pray. We want to pray, you know, to God for the protection of Israel and peace to the region, and that no more harm comes to Israel. They're just a nation that wants to live in peace. And when you see all of this happening, I mean, you know that it's lunacy, it's crazy, it's not of God, and that we don't want to go back to a situation that occurred in Germany during Hitler's, regime, if you will, because this is where this would like to go, the genocide of the Jews. And once they come after the Jews, guess what? They're coming after Christians next. We need to stand with our brothers and say no mas to Hamas and anybody else that dares to threaten the security and the safety and the peace of Israel. More when we get right back from this break.
You're listening to VFN Radio. Don't forget, you can locate us at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
If you don't have a plan to abide with the Lord, we have one for you.
Mm-hmm.
Because it'll just begin to just revitalize your prayer life. And you'll find that not only are you talking to God, but you're dialoguing with the Lord and having this documented conversation. We have a plan for you. It's at iabide.org. It's a free plan. You can request it today, and it's amazing how your life will, you'll just have peace in your life.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just amazing when we do what God says and operate in the context of how he says do things. It's not as complicated as religion's made it out to be. Mm-hmm. And children are abiding with the Lord. Mm-hmm. I know as adults, we should be able to do that. We want to give a big shout out and a thank you to all of our sponsors and partners that are out there.
Yes.
If you haven't yet visited our sponsors, you see them come up on television, you hear them on the radio, but you also can see them at VFNTV.com by clicking on sponsors. Understand it's our sponsors and our partners who stand with us to make this available. If you want to become a sponsor or if you want to become a partner, you can do that by going to VFNTV.com and click on partner or sponsor. And what we want to do, if your business is standing for God, if you're standing for God, we want people to know you're standing for God and country in Israel. Believe me, this is a time that on the side of history, because a lot of people, this is what a lot of people have been saying. You know, somebody needs to do something about this. Somebody needs to do something about this. And the question is, okay, so what are you going to do? This is what you can do. A simple, simple thing. If you partner with us, we'll partner with you. And we'll partner together for God and country in that order and for Israel. This is a time to stand. This is time for us to stand and say, you know what? Yes, this is one nation under God. Yes, it is God that determines whether a nation rises or fall. And yes, we have some bumps in the road and some terrible parts of our history, but it's God that sustained us this far. And if we turn back to him like the first and the second great awakening, he can give us another. And then we understand the reason why we have America is because of God. And so if we put that in the right order, then we have an America. And finally, understanding, you know, I'm going to stand for Israel. If the whole world turns again, I'm not going to be silent. And you can simply do that by saying, you know what? I want everybody to know that by me becoming a sponsor. And it makes me think of several sponsors right up front that are doing it, such as Mark Downey and Mark Downey's team. When you think about that, just he's a great man, runs a great business, provides realtor needs of rental or purchasing or selling, but he's bold for God.
Mm.
He's bold for God. And there's so many of them out there that are standing with us, and we thank you. And you need to join them because we have a world and definitely a nation we want to tell about God in the country and Israel in that order.
You're listening to VFN Radio, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T, light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
I'm John Ramos, and welcome back to VFN TV. And joining us back from the break is Pat and Steve. And yes, gentlemen, I mean, this discussion did happen, you know, during the break. And we're going to just let you know about it right now. Yes, I did play football with pads, Pat, for a while. Although,
were there other people there?
Yeah, they were.
Yeah.
They were.
Did you have a helmet on?
Yeah, I did.
It wasn't just like just
so what happened?
Running around or by yourself?
No, not at all. In fact, you know, in my younger days, I was an avid football fan. Now I'm a baseball fan, and I do watch some football, but I also played as well.
Mm.
Played slot back, mm-hmm. fullback. Sure did. And then I started, you know, middle school, and I started playing high school. And there's something about high school that these guys kept growing and growing. And I said, they may mistake me for the football. I think I need to bow out of this game here for a while because it's not going to go well. But actually, I was on the same team that Danny Werfel was on in high school.
Hmm.
Yes, sure. With 4-1 Beach Vikings the year they won state championship. Danny Werfel is Heisman Trophy winner.
Played for...
Hmm. Saints.
No. Florida Gators.
Well, Gators, yeah. But
that's where it became really
famous. I thought you were excited for the Saints. All right.
No, that was a blip.
So it has to be something with the history. Saints.
So,
but I really didn't play
I
the
have to ask. No. There was a conversion somewhere that you went from football to baseball. At one point. I gotta know about this revelation experience that made you leave.
No, I've always enjoyed baseball, but I let me give a disclaimer. I didn't play on that team. It was during
practice.
You were the practice squad.
Yeah. There's a disclaimer. Not even. It was during the summertime. You know, you train during summer.
You were fodder.
I go, I was kindling on the wood of the fire. Right. You know, I go, I don't think this is going to happen. I don't think this is a reality. I don't think there's a scholarship for me here. No, I need to do something else. And that year, that year they won state championship, and it was pretty cool. But they're serious about their football. And
Do we have evidence of this?
You know, I can find something.
Can we touch bases?
Can.
Send the pictures, please. We want to see John in full
attire.
Interesting. I'll tell you why I lasted as long as I did on that football team. There was a coach by the name of Jimmy Ray Stevens. I think he went on to coach there with
He sounds familiar.
He went with Danny Werfel to back to Florida. He came from Florida, then went back to the Gators with him, and he was such a motivator. This guy, he was amazing. And I was in high school.
Believe me, I'm going back.
Exactly.
Start calling you Rudy.
There you go. Hey, you go. That's a great movie. But he used to have this saying, and he printed it on T-shirts, and it was don't let go of the rope. Don't let go of the rope. And man, he would just pound that in day in and day out. Don't give up.
Expand on that.
Don't give up.
Okay.
Don't give in. Don't let go of the rope. Hold on tight, no matter what.
Okay.
And he was a great, I mean, just a great, he knew his stuff, but he knew how to, I guess, rally the troops. And he had these guys, you know, running down walls. And I go, some of these guys are 300 pounds. And I'm like, they can bench press me. I'm letting go of the rope right now. I'm sorry, Jimmy, I'm letting go of the rope. But I'm going to do some other things. But anyway.
Safer things.
Where my mom won't have to visit me in the hospital. You know what I mean? But we survived. But I wanted to talk about ISIS and what's happening on our borders, and is there a connection? Because we were just talking about how dangerous ISIS has been. They're wanting a caliphate. They're in parts of Syria, parts in Iraq. They want to, and part of a caliphate is not. It includes, making Sharia law, but they want global domination. A caliphate is, running the world, if you will, making it Muslim nations, and now they'll institute Sharia law as the law of the land. And Christians, we're not interested in taking over, earthly kingdoms. God's kingdom is the kingdom of God, and completely different. But what they want to do is be able to continue to spread that, and there are reports that ISIS could actually be entering through the borders in the United States because they've been so, unsecure. In fact, this is not just talk, but the governor of Texas, Rick Perry, who has one of the largest borders there with Mexico, Texas and Mexico, he himself said this. We want you to watch this report as they continue to share the type of threat that's basically being extended to the United States. Mm-hmm. Watch this.
America's military and intelligence officers are pledging an even greater commitment to striking down the radical Islamic militant group known as ISIS or ISIL. This follows an international effort to track down those who killed American journalist James Foley, and now there are threats to kill Stephen Sotloff. He is the second American journalist being held hostage.
We are pursuing a long-term strategy against ISIL because ISIL clearly poses a long-term threat.
We'll work with our law enforcement, our intelligence, and our military partners to try to bring justice to the Foley family and bring the full force of the United States to bear on these savages.
The White House also released and defended details of an unsuccessful mission to rescue several Americans in Syria last month. ISIS had demanded $130 million in ransom for James Foley, but the U.S. refused to consider it.
ISIS is not only trying to terrorize Americans by killing Foley, they're also trying to stoke fear from inside the U.S. The last week has brought a photo tweet from an ISIS supporter in front of the White House and even a pro-ISIS banner at the Ferguson riots. But the danger may be more than just about a PR war. Texas Governor Rick Perry is just one of many who fears that ISIS terrorists could have entered the U.S. through our porous southern border.
There is, I think, great concern that the border between the United States and Mexico is unsecure, and we don't know who's using that. What I will share with you that we've seen historic high levels of individuals from countries with terrorist ties over the course of the last months. Individuals from ISIS or other terrorist states could be, and I think it's a very real possibility that they may have already used that.
A number of U.S. lawmakers in Washington have also warned that U.S. citizens have gone to fight for ISIS and could bring their terror training back to the U.S.
This is a real concern because ISIS is an organization, a terrorist group, that is super well-funded. They said one of the most well-funded terrorist groups ever. Mm-hmm. So when they're asking for $130 million, they ask because they were already getting money. Reports are that they were getting money from Europe countries, countries in Spain, in the millions for people that they have kidnapped, I think mainly journalists. And so they thought that they could do that in the United States, and the United States doesn't negotiate with terrorists. And so they didn't get anything. But they've also taken over oil fields. And what's being reported is that they're selling that oil on the black market for, I mean, half the price. So they're super funded, and they have great, you know, weapons at their disposal because there are weapons that we left there in Iraq, you know, unsecured and pulled out. And so, you know, when people say, well, do we want to go into Iraq? And listen, if we don't take care of ISIS there in Iraq, we may be having to take care of them in Texas.
Yeah.
And so we need to do what we need to do to be able to protect all citizens everywhere, in particular those Christians that were beheaded, children that were starved, dehydrated up on a mountain, Mount Sinjar, pushed up over the, you know, edge. This is crazy. It just needs to come to an end. And it's time that America plays its role that it's played so many times in the past. When America was on watch, it kind of kept everything at bay because they knew that there were leaders in the United States that were going to take action. There was an administration that said, just like Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu, he deals with things. And you know what? You know, you almost feel like if you went to Israel, you'll be safer in Israel than maybe you are in most places right now in the United States. And it's because, you know, people respond to authority and they respond to swift punishment or swift action when things are broken down. And it's something about Israel and the leadership that they have. They understand that you have to confront evil. You can't play with it, nor can you try to containment. Because there's this whole theory of, we'll just contain them. We'll just No, you deal with them. You get rid of them.
Yeah.
And you don't contain them in a fence. Because you know what? They'll climb right on over and be in your backyard when we get right back from this break.
You're listening to VFN Radio. Don't forget, you can locate us at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
Are you or someone you know having difficulties hearing? If you answered yes, then maybe it's time to contact the professional staff at Ears to Hear Hearing Center, where they improve the quality of life for the hearing impaired and their families by testing and fitting and dispensing the best hearing aid for the patient's hearing loss, lifestyle, and budget. Three convenient locations on the Gulf Coast to serve your needs. Don't miss one more word. Call today and be on your way to enjoying the gift of hearing.
Wow, at VFN Radio, we are looking for greater ways for you to be able to connect anywhere you go. We know that you can listen to VFN Radio on the go through the app, but now we also have the podcast. It's a great way for you to be able to automatically get all the segments totally downloaded to your digital device no matter where you're at. You can go to VFNTV.com and click podcast, and you'll configure it and set it up so that no matter where you're at, you automatically have all of the highlights automatically downloaded on your digital device. VFNTV.com, click podcast.
I remember, do you remember the time that we were, you know, taking all these mentors and the fatherless and whatever out to the wilderness, and we were raising money? You remember that? I don't know if I have time to talk about this. I might not have time to talk about it. And one of us came up with a, it might have been me, came up with an idea that said, you know, we need to have a raffle. We need to have a raffle. And, you know, we'll raffle off something that, you know, something that Americans might like. Yeah. A TV.
Wasn't that John's idea?
Oh, that's right. That's right. It was John's. I'm sure it was John's. Mute his mic. It was John's.
Yeah.
And I said, but listen, if we're going to do this, John, I said, if we're going to do this, this is a raffle. It is not a lottery. You know, it is not a lottery. And I said over and over, this is not a lottery. This is, we're just going to, you know, a dollar for a ticket or whatever. You get a chance to win a big screen TV or something like that we had. Mm-hmm. And in that, here we were on TV. We were on TV. And I sat there and they said, well, tell us what's going on. And I said, well, we're having a lottery. I mean, God had me eat so much crow. A lottery. I said, we're having a lottery. That is so funny, you know, that, you know, you can, you know, it was just.
How many shades of color did you turn?
I was dumbfounded, you know, and obviously God was dealing with me about, you know, it's a shame that you have to go to a raffle to do what the church should have done all along. Remember that? Because we were paying for our entire community to come to God in the concept of going into the wilderness and responding to the prophetic word. But that was hilarious. I'm like, this is not a lottery. And here I was on TV. What did I say? We're doing a lottery.
You're listening to VFN Radio, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T, light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Welcome back. I'm John Ramos, and joining us back from the break is Pat and Steve. And we want to continue our conversation that we've been having with you. A book written by Newt Gingrich is called Rediscovering God in America. And we have it here for you. Kind of want to give you a look-see. You may want to get it or you may not. Just join the conversation as we're going through the book and you can sit back and relax and enjoy it. But this book has been really, really cool because it talks about reflections on the role of faith in our nation's history and future. And what Newt does, the author does, he walks us along the tour of the monuments in D.C., mm-hmm. which is, by the way, District Columbia. I don't know if you knew that. I heard about that.
Yeah, I learned
just
that
throwing
this,
that out.
This past
just
week.
Throwing that
I'm
out
so
there.
Educated about that. I'm so glad that you made that known.
That's such an important thing to know, you know, in the scheme of life. Yeah. But
what state is that in?
Yep. Don't even ask me. I don't know my state to jog.
It's been so informational.
Yes. We have a limited amount of time. But we have this we want to share with you because what's so cool is that he takes us through the different monuments, and we went through the National Archive, and who knew? Because I didn't have a chance to go there. We're learning as as we go. I know I am. I mean, we say we took history, but I think I got his story instead of history, and I want to get the whole thing. You know what I mean? Yeah. I want to get the whole thing, and I didn't get it. So I'm learning it now, and maybe you can do as well. We're on this journey, but we also talked about the Washington monument, which I thought that was amazing. Mm-hmm. Stood right next to it, had no idea what was all inside of it mm-hmm. and how it came about. But again, you can catch all of these on the torch and catch up with us if you don't even know what we're talking about. But you'll get up to speed. The next one we want to talk about is the Jefferson Memorial, and people may be surprised as to why this is included in the book and. Especially when we're talking about rediscovering God in America, because there's a lot of things written about Thomas Jefferson that were not always accurate. Mm-hmm. And so it's amazing that the louder the story gets and, you know, repeated often, people mm-hmm. just begin to believe any kind of narrative. But we're going to learn some insight about Thomas Jefferson, the man, and what happened, mm-hmm. More into some details. But one of the quotes there from Thomas Jefferson, third president of the United States, is, God who gave us life, gave us liberty. Can the liberties of a nation be secure when we have removed the conviction that these liberties are a gift from God? Hmm. And so there was a memorial made for him. And what was so cool about it, it was finally approved, went through some stages. It takes a long time, apparently. I mean, it took mm-hmm. like almost four decades for the Washington Monument to be solidified. Here's a picture we want to show you of what it looks like. It has kind of this dome thing going on with a kind of a Pantheon look. And there's a statue of Thomas Jefferson right in the middle of it. And there's some four panels. Yeah, pretty cool. Four panels that have different writings and different quotes in it. And so the author says that upon entering, you look into the interior, you see, you know, different things that were quoted, and there's four panels inside of them. Three of the four panels actually have references to God in them. And, you know, pretty amazing, because there's this whole thing about, you know, you might have heard it, that God doesn't belong in the public square. Well, look around. I mean, just in Tennessee, this young girl, it's been reported that she was reprimanded by her school and sent to the principal's office because she said, bless you. I don't even think she said God bless you. She said bless you. And those are one of the words banned by her teacher that she could not say in school. And the student goes on to say that, hey, my pastor told me I have a First Amendment right. I can say those things. She says, well, not in this classroom, you can't. Wow. And sent it down to the assistant principals. Chris Manus is reporting this. And it's just, he goes to see what's happening all over the country. And hello, just take a look at the monuments. Take a look at what's happened and go back to the original intent that so many people came to this nation, including Jews and including Christians, Puritans, because they wanted a place where they could worship God freely. And that's it. And so right from the very beginning, we learn and we discover all these things. Well, one of the things that's said on the panel, of course, this is what Thomas Jefferson wrote in the Declaration of Independence. He says, we hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal and that they are endowed by their creator with certain unalienable rights, and unalienable means it comes from God. Unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. In the second panel, there's an excerpt from a bill establishing religious freedom that was passed in 1777. So again, it's like, man, wow, this is so cool. Wow. It says, Almighty God hath created the mind free. All attempts to influence it by temporal punishments or burthens are a departure from the plan of the holy author of our religion. No man shall be compelled to frequent or support any religious worship or ministry, or shall otherwise suffer on account of his religious opinions or belief, but all men shall be free to profess by argument to maintain their opinions in matters of religion. Pretty cool. And panel three says this, and this was taken from Thomas Jefferson, and he said this: God gave us life, the same God who gave us life gave us liberty, and can the liberties of a nation be secure when we have removed the conviction that these liberties are a gift from God? This is the first quote I shared with you when we started. Indeed, I tremble for my country when I reflect that God is just, that his justice cannot sleep forever. Commerce between master and slave is despotism. Nothing is more certainly written in the book of fate than that these people are to be free. I mean, it just goes on and on and on. And the big thing about Thomas Jefferson was that, you know, the First Amendment in the Bill of Rights talks about, gives us our freedom of religion, right? Mm-hmm. It says the United States Constitution prohibits the making of any law respecting an establishment of religion, so the government can establish a state religion, mm-hmm. or impeding the free exercise of religion, abridging the freedom of speech and infringing the freedom of the press, interfering with the right to peacefully assembly, or prohibiting the petitioning for a governmental redress of grievances. And so it's your freedom for, you know, to serve God, basically, and that they're not going to impose a state religion. And one of the things that he, you know, is well known for is the statement that there should be a separation between church and state. And basically, there was a case law. This was from David Barton Wall Builders. We make sure this is related because it goes into a whole lot of detail, mm-hmm. but it gives you kind of the story behind the story, if you will, about where this all came from. Because it was separation of church and state, separation of church and state. The skinny here, the 15-second version, because we're pressed the time, is this: that the Anabaptists wrote a letter to Thomas Jefferson when he was elected. He was kind of part of the party that they were a part of, and they were being, you know, they wanted to make sure that there was no influence basically with the state, mm-hmm. in regards to religious practices. Don't forget that the story behind the story here is that King George in England was all about saying he tied the church and the government together. So to disobey King George would mean you were disobeying God. Mm-hmm. And they were like, we're getting out of here. You know what I'm saying? This ain't going to work, my friend. And it wasn't about taxation without representation. You know, there's 27 things written in the Declaration of Independence that made it clear why they were separating from King George and England. And so when it said separation of church and state, it was talking about not taking the church out of the state, but making sure that the state doesn't interfere with the church. Hmm. And so that got twisted. But this is what Jefferson wrote in his own words. He rebuffed those claims that he was hostile towards religion when he said in a letter, a life of inquiry and reflection are very different from anti-Christian system imputed to me by those who knew nothing about my opinions. That's what he wrote. He wrote this letter saying, listen, my views, people wrote a lot of stuff about me that's not true, and it's not right. Mm-hmm. He wrote this letter to Benjamin Rush. We'll make that part available for you. Listen, there is wonderful things that we need to know about our nation. And that, listen, it's okay to serve God. It's okay to have him in the public square. And the next time somebody tells you that you can't put God in the public square, you need to point them to Thomas Jefferson. Go look at the Jefferson Memorial. Look at what he said. We can have God and we can discuss him freely and openly in our country. We want to give a special thanks to all of our sponsors and partners. Visit VFNTV.com and visit our sponsors for all of their contact information. Phone numbers, web addresses, emails. Call them today.
You've been listening to VFN Radio. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and we're so glad that you joined us. Don't forget you can catch us at VFNTV.com on your mobile applications. You can download it at VFNTV.com. Go to your Apple apps, your Android apps, and all those wonderful apps. We enjoyed our time together. And don't forget, 24/7 on VFN Radio. God bless.
If you're tired of religion, think about this. If you're tired of all these mechanisms and supporting these ziggurats and these all these things going on, if you're ready to get into the kingdom, you know, find someone who's hearing from God. Find a gathering that's hearing from God. Find an apostolic center. Find one of those hubs. Maybe the VFN Dream Center is for you. You know, we're located on the Gulf Coast. Pensacola, Florida, a very significant things that have happened since God told us to establish it here. But they're all around the place. North Carolina, you have Morning Star, you have Church of His Presence in Alabama with Pastor John Kilpatrick. Mm-hmm. You have IHOP Kansas City with Mike Bickle. You have Chuck Pierce, Zion Ministries in Corinth, Texas. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. He got the good one. He got Texas, man. And so it's amazing what and so God is doing this all over the place. But you want to get into that place.
You may be joining us today and you're searching. You're searching to know God. Well, I want to encourage you. He's searching for you. You know, a couple of us have put our stories out available so that you can be able to connect with Father God through His Son, Jesus Christ. I want to encourage you to go to meetmyfather.org. And when you go there, you'll see a bunch of our stories. And we try to share, not all of it, but some of what God has done in our own personal lives. Listen, coming to God and coming to the Father is not as hard as religious made it out to be. He's a real loving Father who loves you, who sent His Son so that you can have a relationship with Him. Go to meetmyfather.org and you can read some of our stories.